Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, John McCure and Julia Fellow.
Glad you're with us on this Friday. Joining us in the studio is WTMJ's Sean Brinda. Sean, we've been talking about SROs, it seems like, for months, and you have an update on the MPD, MPS SRO situation.
Yeah, so we are 2 months into the school year, and as you sort of remember from the beginning of this year, Judge David Borowski had ordered the city of Milwaukee to install school resource officers by February. Now, it took them another month to get those officers fully trained in March, and then we had maybe 3 months of SROs sort of in Milwaukee Public Schools, not quite sure how to address that full situation. Well, now we're 2 months into the new school year, and we have full SROs. Now, we talked, well, I'm working on getting more sound from school resource officers later on in the coming days, but as of right now, we know that there are 33 school resource officers who are working full-time in Milwaukee Public Schools, and they're being led under the leadership of Captain Vanetta Norberg with the Milwaukee Police Department. And she says already officers have prevented gun violence in schools.
So we've had some firearm recoveries within the schools where our SROs are. School officers, resource officers, they recovered multiple firearms, students age 8 to 17. Within the schools. I believe ensuring campus safety, that we can be there right away when those things, you know, come up. And also, if there are resources needed after the fact of this happened, that we can be there to provide them with additional resources outside of the Milwaukee Police Department.
Now, that's Norberg talking with the Milwaukee Police and Fire Commission yesterday, and she was just sort of giving the commission an update on how things are going so far this year. And one of the things that she's focusing on to make sure that SROs are fully integrated in with MPS is getting connected with students. And she's hoping to add in some advisory and mentorship roles.
So our officers, we do engage in mentorship and positive engagement. Two of our officers who are at King High School, they came up listening to feedback of the students with a initiative called 12 with 12. So the series offers students monthly question and answer opportunities about safety, how to interact with the police, and decision making topics. The students and the officers run that monthly, and we will be extending that to the other 11 schools come January. Their officers, they use the opportunity, weekly engagement. Example, SROs, they conduct weekly reports, coaching sessions with ninth graders, and encourage leadership and community involvement.
So while we're 2 months into a 10-month school year, SROs still have many challenges ahead, but I'm sure with support of the community, as well within Milwaukee Public Schools, they'll find their way.
Good. We'll look forward to when you catch up with some of those officers as the school year moves on. Thanks, Sean. It is 4:13 at WTMJ. Traffic and weather up next.
From sidelines to the locker room.
This is unlike anything else that's ever happened in franchise history. Now, I know what I'm saying when I say that.
And everything in between.
How many times are you going to come to my press conference late? We got a rule in the team meeting. You don't interrupt the meeting. Sit your butt outside.
No one covers the team like Jason Wilde.
Well, that's very kind of you to say, but I don't do enough politics.
It's time to get caught up on the green and gold on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
He's handsome. He's smart. He is Jason Wilde. Hello, Wilde.
I don't know if any of those things are
all
true.
True.
And I'm finding out I'm not as popular as John McCure when it comes to Colette vacations either. So maybe you want to go to London with me so more people want to come. I'm counting on harnessing a little bit
Wilde,
of your popularity.
I'd be happy to help you. That's going to be a great trip. If you want to go to the UK with Wilde, if you want to go in general, you should go with Wilde because he's fun.
I do want to go.
All right, Wilde, you should go. When's the trip?
July 5th through the 14th.
What's the easiest way for people to get information if they want to go to the UK with you during the summer?
ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com.
Okay.
It'll reroute you to the Colette website.
ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com. ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com. It's going to be a great trip. I've traveled to that part of the world with Colette. They're the best tour company in the market. Wildy's the most fun sports guy on our roster. So go to the website and check it out.
Wildy,
you're the best.
Wildy,
all right, gotta go. See you later.
Wildy, are you going to be in Scotland, Wales, England, Northern Ireland?
Three of the four you mentioned: England, Scotland, and Wales. I learned how to pronounce Edinburgh Castle, which when I first talked about it was Edinburgh. So I'm learning a lot about our trip, and I have never left North America, so I'm really excited about it.
I'm so excited for you.
It's going to be cool.
All right, give the website one more time, Wildy.
ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com. All right. Thank you for the opportunity.
No,
you're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome. That'll be a great trip. Wanted to ask you actually about the weather. The fourth quarter on Monday, right now, if you look at it, it's going to be about 27 degrees, according to the meteorologist, with flurries. Does that favor one team or the other based on how these two rosters are built and their offenses are built?
Yeah, great question. Not these two, but certainly there could be other matchups if they were playing somebody else where it would be a major factor, I think, right? I mean, two of the other three teams in the division are dome teams. I know there's a toughness about the Lions and their kneecap biting and everything that Dan Campbell talks about. But look, I am fascinated by this game, and I don't think the weather's going to affect it. I think it's going to be two really good teams. I know the Packers have had some disappointing losses, but I still believe that they're a good team. They're going to miss Tucker Kraft because of that injury. And there's some bad blood here, too. Not only did the Eagles beat them in the opener last year and end their season in a playoff game, but the Packers were the ones who brought the tush push ban proposal to the NFL meetings in March. So there's some waxy buildup between these two teams. I can't wait to see how it plays out.
I thought I'd never ask you about a midseason kicker battle in Green Bay, but do we know who will be kicking for the Packers on Monday, and how did we get to this point?
Yeah, we actually do know now,
okay,
which
good.
Is weird because, as you're referencing, Matt LaFleur said earlier this week that it was, quote, a competitive situation between the incumbent, Brandon McManus, and the upstart, Lucas Haversick, who made all 10 of his kicks while McManus was sidelined with his quadriceps injury. And so we're all expecting Rich Bisaccia, the special teams coordinator, to say, well, you'll find out on Monday. And instead, Matt Schneiman from The Athletic asked him who the kicker is going to be on Monday, and he said Brandon McManus. So, okay, I guess we're done. The competition is over, and the incumbent will be kicking on Monday night.
Wow. So this is going to be a really busy week for you. So let's just talk about Sundays. I know that this is a Monday game, but on a typical Sunday night at the Wildy family, and there's not a Packers game, what is Wildy family time like?
Well, usually everybody goes to bed early and leaves me and the dogs and the 16 cats on our own. But there's not 16, by the way. That's an overstatement.
Thank God.
But it feels like it sometimes.
Only 13 will be on the trip to the British Isles. So.
Exactly. Yes, I can't wait.
Suitcase full of cats.
Exactly. Those backpacks where they can look out the back at the other passengers. So our big, you know, what's fun, Julia, is that we're in a small window briefly here where the girls aren't inundated with all their different sports. And so we actually will have a Sunday evening of our own. And I'm open to suggestions because it doesn't seem to happen very often. I like to take them to the mine shaft in Oshkosh. They love the game room there.
Yes.
But we'll have to figure something out for Sunday night.
That's a great choice.
I got something for him.
What do you got?
The Downton Abbey movie just came out, the last one.
Your girls would love that.
Well, and that goes with his trip.
Yeah. Oh, my. Julia, you are so good.
It's all coming together. It's beautiful.
You are so good. Wildy, that might not be your cup of tea, but I bet the three women would like it. It's streaming on Peacock. You should watch it.
A spot of tea.
Yes, that was really well played, John. I don't even know if John knew what he was doing there.
I didn't.
But it was great.
I did not. You should do that. Take the girls to the movie. You could just stay at home even. Make some popcorn,
sure,
buy some cool snacks.
Great plan. I love it. Yep, I'm on top of it. Thank
you
for planning
my
Sunday.
Are you bringing the girls and your wife, or who's all going with your
family?
That's
the plan. Yeah, it's the plan. All four of us, that's the plan. So
okay, here's what you do right now. Go to ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com. Boom, I just clicked on it. You type in ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com, and it opens up to the front page of the trip, British Landscapes. Here's the dates, July 5th through the 14th. My God, look at this itinerary. I got to go on this trip. And right there, there is a place where you can sign up or you can request more information. The button to get Wildy's autograph, they've taken off. I don't know what happened there.
We got to get that back on there.
Yeah, got to get that on there. Maybe a selfie if you sign up today. Wildy will send you a selfie.
Signed 8x10 glossies.
So I like
it. Have to go get them printed up first.
ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com. Seriously, this is a great trip, and I can vouch for Colette. They're the best in the business. Wildy is fun. I can vouch for that. And it's look at how affordable this is, Julia. This is like under $6,000 a person, and almost all the meals are included.
Well, and you can pick Jason's mind,
his
brain about all the things that he knows behind the scenes.
How fun would that be? That's like that's near training camp time. How fun would it be? You hook up with Wildy, you talk football, you meet his beautiful family, you see a beautiful part of the world. What you do.
He's done it for decades. He has an office in Lambeau Field. Which other reporter or non-Packers employee can say that or correspondent?
None.
Well, there's probably six or seven of them.
Okay.
People to sign up, Wildy.
ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com. ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com. Jason, have a great weekend.
I appreciate you guys so much. Have a good day. Take
you
care.
Got
be good.
It. Don't worry. Be happy. A Greek freak accident, a Milwaukee holiday tradition, air travel gets worse and more. It's the Week in Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back.
Toss, Dowdle, knifing through for the touchdown, and the Panthers take the lead. Kick is up, into the wind, it is good!
Packers tight end Tucker Kraft was carted to the locker room in the third quarter after suffering a knee injury while blocking. A massive blow to the offense.
Giannis had what appeared to be a black eye during Saturday's game.
I was in pick and save, right? So there was this guy that was about to snatch a purse from a lady. So I went and grabbed him, and he kind of turned and elbowed me in the eye.
One minor detail he may have left out was the fact that if he got elbowed in his eye, the perpetrator had to jump up and do that because Giannis is 6'11".
I felt like America is so badass after I was done with the Stars and Stripes on the flight.
Just helping some of the veterans, I think, find closure, and as well as the celebration that they really truly deserve. I think they'd be proud of being received back in their own country, knowing that some of their friends and family truly paid the ultimate price.
From the WTMJ Breaking News Center, breaking news this morning, former Vice President Dick Cheney has died. Cheney was 84 years old. He did attend the University of Wisconsin-Madison, as did his wife, Lynn.
Dick Cheney was the perfect running mate for George W. Bush. He was the stabilizer. He was the one that had more experience.
It says, and this really struck me, that girls in Wisconsin are both the most connected generation in history and the most traumatized.
It's a generation where we really need to lean in as a community. They really need our support, and the statistics are just really eye-opening.
Judge Maria Lazar has been a judge on the Wisconsin Court of Appeals since 2022. Did Donald Trump lose the 2020 election?
Yes.
Okay. And that's the easiest.
That's
a very easy
answer.
I love when people just answer the question.
Holiday season is officially underway as city crews harvested this year's Christmas tree Wednesday morning.
We're giving back to the city.
The spruce was cut from a home on South 9th Street, then escorted by Milwaukee police to the Deer District. Public Works crews handled the removal, a tradition they say brings the city together.
Titletown could be preparing to welcome another professional sports team.
The Green Bay Redevelopment Authority Tuesday unanimously approved a letter of intent to explore the potential of adding a USL pro soccer team, complete with a 5,000-seat stadium. The move comes as a similar project to bring pro soccer to Milwaukee has seen limited movement.
Still nothing. Yeah. Still dirt.
Well, the Trump administration says thousands of flights a day could be cut because of the government shutdown due to a lack of air traffic controllers.
I mean, we got sick outs by air traffic controllers and TSA agents. The whole airport could be in a real mess starting tomorrow.
Okay, this is a very special five-day forecast, John, because have the S word in our five-day forecast.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's special because we have Craig Coplean.
That's what I was thinking. Probably going to see your first snow of the season.
but it doesn't look like it's going to be all that impactful. The gales of
November. He is Todd Gordon, president of the Wisconsin Marine Historical Society. You are the right person to share maybe some unremembered facts about the SS Edmund Fitzgerald.
It disappeared from radar, which means it sank so fast that he didn't even have time to put a mayday out.
Chris McIntosh, the athletic director for Wisconsin, says, no, Fickell's going to be back next season.
It's not limited to wins and losses. You know, there are so many factors that contribute to that. And
you almost heard Mac struggling through the back end of that after the words came out of his mouth. It's not only wins and losses.
Tosh, is there someone he was specifically talking to?
It's a good question, Eric. And by the way, you look tan and relaxed. You look fantastic.
Doesn't he?
What are we doing? Walk a week.
Do a backflip really badly.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
The Weeknd Review is brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Text WEEK to the Siding Unlimited talk and text line 855-616-1620. If you'd like to hear it again, that's text the word WEEK. It is 442 at WTMJ. What a week it has been on Wall Street. Annex Wealth Management Chief Economist Brian Jacobson with us live up next.
Money makes the world go around, the world go around, the world go around. Money makes the world go around.
Our money and the world have been swirling. A lot of uncertainty, a lot of volatility. Brian Jacobson with us, the Annex Wealth Management Chief Economist. Brian, happy Friday. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, it is my pleasure.
Hey, a tough week for the markets, although they did bounce back this afternoon, which was really nice, especially the Dow the last hour kind of climbed back big time. What is it that concerned the markets so much this week?
Yeah, this past week, I think it's the how long the government shutdown has lasted. You know, initially that if it was going to be, you know, maybe a couple weeks, the economy can kind of deal with that. But the longer that it goes, you suddenly get these flight delays, the cancellations. You have lack of regulatory approval for businesses on a number of things. And so it's just almost like it can snowball. And that was part of it. But then we also have earnings season going on. We're at the tail end of earnings season for the 500 companies and the S&P 500. What they've announced so far has actually been better than expected. It's just this past week, there was a little bit of disappointment with perhaps some companies in the tech sector where there are very high hopes, high expectations, and they gave good numbers, but not quite where people were hoping. It's almost like an A-plus student who comes home with an A. They might feel a little miserable.
Good analogy.
That is such a good analogy. Okay, so forecasting is really important, and there's government agencies that do that. Are there any government agencies that are still affected with the government shutdown that can really do metrics and they can't give it to us because the shutdown is still going?
That's an excellent question. The biggest source of data from the government right now that is still going on would be from the U.S. Treasury. So we can see as far as the daily accounts, as far as how much debt we're accumulating, but also where money is coming in, where it's going out. But then also the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve, it funds itself. And so they have released information like today. They released their financial stability report. It's this big collection of information about how stable is the financial system, and nothing was really all that worrying there. They also do release things like industrial production. They have their various regional surveys. And so we still do get some information from the federal government, but the past week, most of the data we were really focused on were from private sector sources, especially ADP, Advanced Data Processing. So they process the payrolls for about 20% of the private sector, and their number for the private sector jobs that were created in the month of October was actually better than expected. It was positive 42,000, which is significantly better than what we had for August and September, where you actually saw declines. So right now, we're focusing a little bit more on the private sector data and earnings season as opposed to the government-provided data.
Chief Economist Brian Jacobson is with us. Wanted to ask you a question about tariffs. Brian, you and I have spoken a lot about tariffs, including in some of those really cool webinars that you guys put together. If the Supreme Court rules against tariffs, and there are signs that they might, what kind of economic pain could that produce?
It'll be interesting because I think there's a little bit of misunderstanding about what might happen. You know, if the Supreme Court says that these tariffs were collected illegally, right? So if it, President Trump exceeded his authority under the International Economic Powers Act, which is what's at stake here, that accounts for about 70% of the tariffs that have been collected. It's around $100 billion, which is nothing to sneeze at, but it is a relatively small amount compared to the overall budget of the government and then also the overall size of the economy. Now, what is likely to happen then are the importers, the companies that paid the tariffs, if they had protested the tariffs when they were paying them, they would most likely be entitled to refunds. And so they could actually get a little bit of quote unquote windfall if the tariffs are struck down. But the thing is, President Trump is likely to pivot to other much more tried and true ways of imposing tariffs. Likely, we'd see a 15% tariff kind of across the board for about 50 days while he works on country-specific tariffs and then what are called sector-specific tariffs. So it's just that it was this broad brush, kind of this Oprah Winfrey approach, like, you'll get a tariff, you get a tariff. That type of approach is what's really being heard in front of the Supreme Court.
So what's really interesting about tariffs and a government shutdown is are the farmers that I just spoke to. Doug Rebout out of Janesville with Rebout Farms, and he's the head of the Soybean Farmers Association of Wisconsin. He's waiting on the $12 billion to make themselves whole, but they can't get any of that money because of the shutdown. What does that also do for other loans besides farmers in general? Because I saw that it was kind of not volatile, I shouldn't say that, but it went down 1% on the day this week, and then it was down just a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, in terms of with crop prices, we are finding a little bit more stability. It's oftentimes very much driven by weather-related events. Now, obviously, the soybean producers in the United States were probably a little happy that China finally has agreed to make a rather large purchase of soybeans, but that was after purchasing nothing for like 6 months, because after the first Trump administration, they had pivoted to purchasing soybeans mostly from countries like Brazil. But now, as part of the agreement that was struck between President Trump and President Xi in China to bring down the U.S. tariff on Chinese goods from 57% to 47%, China agreed that they were going to start buying more soybeans. We're going to have to see, do they follow through with this? Because remember, in 2020, there was like this agreement between the U.S. And China didn't live up to that agreement. And so, I don't know, I'm a little skeptical as to how long-lasting this agreement will be.
Chief Economist Brian Jacobson, Annex Wealth Management, with us on the hotline. We've talked a lot about airlines this week and what's been going on with the airlines and our airports. How have airline stocks fared the past couple of days, Brian?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's been really interesting because with the cancellations, a lot of that cost does fall on the airlines. And so if you think about some of the big ones, like let's say with American Airlines, when we take a look at how their price has behaved just over this past week, it's actually up a little bit, which might be somewhat counterintuitive, but that's because it's actually down significantly from where it was back in January. I think people were expecting that we would see some flight disruptions and cancellations. Let's hope that it stays rather contained as it is now, the, you know, up to 10%. There's talk about it going to about 20% of flights. So the bigger that those cancellations get, the more likely it is it's going to take that financial toll on the airlines, but also the emotional toll on the travelers. I mean, think about just the opportunity cost, the time that's wasted at the airport with all the delays and cancellations. Now, the reason why maybe the market started to bounce back towards the end of the day here, it does look like they could be coming to an agreement to actually open up the government. Probably not as early as tomorrow, but maybe let's hope by Tuesday they can come to some sort of agreement to end the shutdown, in which case we wouldn't have to see these further cancellations at all the airports.
There's a quote by Richard Branson, who used to have Virgin Airlines, and he says, if you want to be a millionaire, start with $1 billion to launch a new airline. So this makes me think about 9/11, different times where it's been really difficult for the airline industry. Do you think that they may need to be made whole or some things may change?
You know, honestly, things have changed so much for airlines. If you think about the deregulation of the airline industry that started under President Carter, all of the challenges that they were facing as far as transitioning to a different, almost complete operating system from being a luxury form of travel to being a little bit more budget-friendly, different airlines competing where it's the direct flights as opposed to the traditional hub and spoke. So the industry has transformed over the years, and it does seem as though they are much more efficiently run. It's one of those where it's still very high cost. Look at the price of the planes themselves, the cost of having the access to the gates, the fuels, they have labor issues. So it does look like, though, a lot of the airlines are able to manage this. Although, keep in mind, just in Milwaukee here, it was announced about with Spirit Airlines that they're going to be stopping service, but they've had their own troubles because perhaps they went a little bit too low cost for what travelers were really willing to stomach.
Annex Wealth Management Chief Economist Brian Jacobson. Brian, have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you so much.
It is 4:56 at WTMJ.